Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Glad you're with us. Congratulations to Thomas Dixon of Clarksville, our qualifier for the Ultimate Tennessee Titans Fan. Your next chance to qualify for the Ultimate Titans Fan giveaway, which includes a brand new 4K TV to watch this Sunday's game, plus an Amazon Echo and a gift card to buy everything you need for your watch party. It's coming up at 1 o'clock with us. Plus, 3HL will have more opportunities for you to qualify. Just be listening for your cue to call between today and tomorrow. You can also register online through Friday at 1045thezone.com. Doug Matthews with us. He joins us in studio each Wednesday. He's presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive. Doug, good morning.
Good to be here.
Great to see you as always.
I'm glad that we're in a position to get bumped for 15 minutes by the head coach of the Titans press conference.
Let's start with the Titans and their performance against the Ravens, because I know you love run game, offensive line play. You're a former SEC running back yourself. When you see the way the Titans are winning these games, what are you thinking as you watch?
Well, I played defensive back 1 year in the Southeastern Conference, and of course I coached secondary 9.5 years. And one of the things I can tell you, I don't recall ever playing against or coaching against someone as big as Derrick Henry. But one of the things that happens, you know, when you hear analysts talk about, particularly coaches talk about wearing the team down, it really happens, particularly back there in secondary. You know, it doesn't take, I don't care how tough you are back there. Maybe Ronnie Lott and a few guys like that would be exceptions, but it's awfully difficult to come up and, you know, consistently have to hit and tackle a guy as big as Derrick Henry is, because, I mean, it literally hurts you, you know, not I'm talking about injury-wise, when you hit him. And that's when you suddenly start seeing, that's why in that second half or in the fourth quarter, after about 20 runs or so, you start seeing those defensive backs start arm tackling instead of putting that hat across, you know. And these are tough guys, but if you can get a run game going, particularly in you can wear teams down, and those defensive linemen, remember, they're primarily pass rushers in almost every instance. That means that they're exerting a lot of energy when you throw the football. They don't have many that play. If you look at what do they carry? Maybe seven, maybe eight defensive linemen at the very most. So if you can stay in a ball game, if you can stay in a ball game and run the football in the fourth quarter, you're going to be able to do some things. Now, the difficult thing, and what the Titans have done such a good job of, they've not only have they stayed in games, they've been ahead in games where that run game can run for you. And I just got to tell you this, from both sides of the ball, there's no better feeling than to have a lead and know that your quarterback does not have to throw the ball much at all. And it's been a great formula, and, you know, a lot of players playing awfully well right now. Very few uncontested passes. When there are, they're primarily playing zone, give them a little bit different look. But getting around balls, a couple of those interceptions were just outstanding interceptions, and that comes from confidence and knowing routes and
really good coaching.
How much easier does it make your job if you're the offensive line? But only that gives you that little extra boost when you see a guy who can make things like this happen where you start leaning on the defensive front.
Well, first off, an offensive lineman has zero advantage in pass protection. everything, the rules and everything else, athletic ability, all go to the defense. You're backing up. You know, you're trying to get your hands on them. They're swatting you, you know, grabbing you, pulling you. But in the offensive run game, that's when you can, the old saying, go screw your cleats into the ground. I'm not sure they even wear those type of cleats anymore. And come off the football and use what your physical ability is. You know, one of the things that the coaches that coached me and that I tried to coach like was this. Everybody has their own skill set. Maybe it's quickness, maybe it's speed, maybe it's height, maybe it's weight. But whatever that skill set is, that's what you have to use. And running the ball like this, those offensive linemen, they can line up, and now the advantage goes to them. And pound and pound and pound. And, again, if you can stay in ball games, it is a great way to do it. One other thing, too, is, and we'll talk about this in the LSU-Clemson game, what's happened to football now is as football has started throwing the balls more, you know, both pro and college, spreading offenses, spreading out and spreading defenses out, defenses have naturally gone to smaller players. You know, how often do we see, probably, I didn't count them, but probably in that ball game, the Titans probably had six defensive backs in at times, as did Baltimore. Well, a defensive back ain't going to tackle Derrick Henry often for no gain or even a few yards. So it's an excellent scheme they have, and I tell you, I applaud them. They're not making turnovers. They're playing hard, and you can tell they got a lot of confidence.
From one offensive line to another, Tennessee's offensive line next year now. Trey Smith coming back, announces that. Cade Mays transferring from Georgia to Tennessee if he gets eligible. That's your right guard. You got two freshmen who started at tackle, and you got a sixth-year player at center. You've talked a lot, Coach, about Philip Fulmer and his belief in the interior of that offensive line. How much is this offensive line possibly transformed from when Jeremy Pruitt took over to what we could see with Tennessee's offensive line in 2020?
Well, it's night and day. I mean, literally night and day. First off, Brandon Kennedy has applied for a sixth year. It has not been approved yet, but I can tell you that the university thinks that's a, you know, it's just a matter of checking the boxes and doing all that. With Trey Smith coming back now, you got two veteran players there, both virtually seniors, fourth year at least, and Kennedy's since the sixth year. You got the Morris and Wright. Both those guys are going to get stronger in the offseason, both of them young guys. So it's the right guard position, and you got three or four guys there, Calvert, maybe Carvin, maybe a redshirt freshman, somebody come in there. I don't think Mays will be able to get eligible, Cade Mays. He will have 2 years left. He is an undergrad transfer. That rule is kind of, you know, depending on what Georgia does or doesn't do. But even with that,
he got the right lawyer to help him get eligible.
Yeah, but I would anticipate, you know, well, let me put it this way. I would expect he will not be able to play, will have to redshirt. Kind of like Gibbs, D'Angelo Gibbs had to do, but there's a possibility that he might. But regardless, he's going to have 2 years. If it's this year's one of them, fine. If not, they've got some quality other players. You know, again, Carvin and Calvert in particular were really coming along during this season. They're going to have another year under the system, but potential is excellent there, no doubt about that.
Coming up, Doug Matthews puts perspective on the national title win for LSU, where clearly we saw the two best teams fight for the championship trophy with the LSU Tigers winning over Clemson. We'll get his take there. We'll get his discussion on Burrow and Lawrence and much, much more. Plus, Joe Brady to the Panthers, and he'll tie that in to Alabama. Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Doug Matthews is in studio with us, as always, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. A reminder, booze it and lose it. Lose your license, your freedom, your life. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive. Doug, these were clearly the two best teams in college football, Clemson and LSU battling for the national championship. And LSU, dominant all season, they prove again why they're the best team.
They did, and, you know, I went back and kind of looked at some notes we talked about last week before the ball game, but one of the things that I think most people felt like, two pretty even teams, really, in lots of different areas, and it was probably going to get down to one quarterback having, or maybe both having, really good ball games. And, you know, that to me was the difference. Lawrence was just a little bit off, had some throws that after the ball game he acknowledged, hey, I need to make those throws in a game like this. You know, wasn't able to complete some of them. He was only 18 for 37. That's less than 50%, obviously. 234 yards, did not have any touchdowns. And on the other side, Joe Burrow, 463 yards, 5 touchdowns. We all know that. But more importantly, his incompletions, they were good throws. You know, they were good defensive plays that broke most of them up. He had a couple that, you know, but when you're throwing the ball 48 times, you're going to have a few of those. And the thing that really just stands out to me, and I've two guys in the country this year, Tua being one and he being the other, it seems like that they just lead receivers to where they want them to go and make accurate throws. Their accuracy both is so quality. I hear and watch too many people talk about strong arm quarterbacks and being able to throw the ball with velocity and spin. That's great. But if you're not accurate, you know, we can go all the way back to Joe Montana, probably before Joe Montana, maybe Johnny Unitas. Accuracy still is the key thing.
Well,
and Burrow, he just has that touch.
Yeah.
It looks like every pass he throws is going to be completed.
Because Clemson wasn't in bad defense,
no.
And especially in man-to-man, Burrow just was not overthrowing receivers. He was dropping it in.
No. And when you look at it, if you look at and kind of break this down like a coach would, you know, the Clemson really played pretty darn well. Let me just give you an example. LSU had the ball 14 drives, 14 possessions. They had it 15, but the last one was after the fumble. They were just running the clock out. On 10 of those 14, LSU had 75 or more yards to go. In other words, they punted them or kicked them or however got the ball down on their end of the field. 10 out of 14 drives. They had one drive that was 70 yards away and two more that were 68 yards away. So of the 14 drives, 13 of them, they kept them down on their end of the field, but they just couldn't get off the field. And, you know, 600 and however many yards, key issues on that. On the other side, the big stat that jumps out at me, guys, on that is that Clemson was 1 of 11 on third downs. 1 of 11. So – you can't stay on the field. The other team can. That's when you have a game like this.
60 touchdown passes for Joe Burrow this season. Previous four seasons combined for LSU quarterbacks, 59 total. More in one season the previous 4 years combined.
And you just look at that group. You know, the Moss youngster at tight end came out of, well, I don't know if he came out of nowhere, but I didn't know he was who he was until about mid-year. I think you can make a big case. Clemson certainly has some good quality wide receivers. But LSU and Alabama this year, you could kind of interchange those. They had three wide outs at one time. They got more than three. And a tight end that can do what he could do. It was, you know, they have the passing. It just gives you so very many options to go to and so many things for defense to cover. And then the last part of it that I would mention, that both these quarterbacks – ran the ball. I take sacks out, all right, because a sack isn't a running play. You know, a sack, it comes off the running total, but it's actually a pass play. But if you look at both these quarterbacks on this, Burrow ran 9 times for 84 yards and a touchdown. Lawrence ran 8 times for 60 yards. So what do you do? When you got quarterbacks that can run like that, let me tell you, it's difficult for a defensive coordinator to call man coverage. Because if you pop one, he's going to have 10, 12, 15 yards and probably get a first and 10. So these two, I think probably this will be for another show. But these two quarterbacks, and you can throw two in there also, and there's others, but those three in particular are, I think, the prototype quarterback that you're going to see teams recruit. Not going to get option guys because you're probably only going to have one really quality quarterback on your team. The rest of them are going to leave. But guys that can pull the ball down and pick up, you know, 4, 5, 8, 10 yards, whatever they need. I think you're going to see more and more teams, top teams that can recruit them That's the type of player you're going to see him recruit, I think.
You see Ryan Tannehill and the way he runs and his ability to run, but he's not always running in the NFL. You brought up the rushing stats with these two guys. They don't run it all the time, but they're able to run it, and they know how to get down and not get hurt. Is that the key if you're looking for next-level quarterback moving from college NFL where – and I think of an Aaron Rodgers as a guy who's got that ability to get yardage that is there and slide and get down, but – he isn't running the option on every play.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, I think, would be a good example. Yep. Russell Wilson could run option plays, but he doesn't. Absolutely. And then the part of it is, too, just think about Clemson. Go back to the Ohio State game. Then when you get into games that are going to be really tight ball games, most of the year, most of these teams, probably 9 out of the 12 games, they're not going to have to ask their quarterback to run. But go back to the Ohio State game. I think 2 or 3 of the first 5 running plays Clemson had against Ohio State was an option with a quarterback keeping it. So that's what you do. You save your quarterback for those instances. Don't need him in most games, but when you do, and in the big ball games, in the championship games, just go back and look at him. That quarterback most of the time has to pick up some key first and tens or buy time to throw the ball down the field. And Burrow was, I think most any quarterback observer would say, Burrow was the best that certainly I've ever seen at doing those things, extending plays and getting throws down the field or pulling the ball down and picking up key first and tens.
Doug, the ability for Coach O and just everyone within that program to identify Joe Burrow and then get the most out of him, because he's a backup at Ohio State. And a great example of just taking a talent that your player possesses and building around that strength.
Well, and remember, you start thinking, how in the world did Ohio State let Joe Burrow leave? Well, they had a guy named Haskins up there.
Right,
So it was, you know, probably the one you choose is going to be fine. But, yeah, they saw something there. They brought him in. And then you have to give Coach Orgeron a tremendous amount of credit. Listen, he changed his philosophy on offense. He's a defensive coach by nature. Changed his offense, went out and got a guy that knew that passing game, and then more than anything else, he let them call the plays and said, hey, if you want to throw it, throw it. And, you know, I'll go back to the first game of the year that they played. They played Texas down in the whichever preseason game, or not preseason, but whichever travel game that was. And there was a key third down at the end of the ball game. They were up, I don't know, a touchdown, maybe a little bit more. A perfect opportunity to run the clock, punt the ball away. He threw a pass for a touchdown to Jefferson, called a pass, or Brady did. And, you know, it's just one of those years. Now, the thing now is, we'll get into, I know, in the next segment, now you lose a Heisman Trophy candidate. You know, those guys don't come along
right
every time. And you lose your guy that was in charge of the passing game. Still going to be a tremendous amount of talent, but a little different way of how they're going to be able to coach it this year.
And Doug has a tie-in to Alabama with Coach Brady that he will bring up and compare to LSU. That's coming up midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone. Did you know that radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer? January is Radon Awareness Month, and because of that, Precision Air wants to help inform you and educate you on the dangers of radon and how you can avoid dangerous levels inside your home. There's a certain amount of radon gas everywhere, and you can most likely step outside and be exposed to radon. But exposure up to a certain level is totally normal and fine. However, there is a threshold of radon concentration that once reached, that can be extremely dangerous to us. And these days, our homes more airtight than ever, which can lead to poor indoor air quality and dangerous radon levels in our homes. Even the EPA has recognized the importance of good indoor air quality and has ranked indoor air pollution as a top 5 environmental danger. That's why Precision Air includes a free radon test annually, plus an indoor air quality evaluation and assessment with your Precision Comfort Club membership. You're going to get 10% discounts on all repairs, priority service to the front of the line, 2 seasonal tune-ups to ensure the safety and efficient operation of your system, which will also help lower utility bills, the indoor air quality evaluation, and the radon safety check. That all comes with it. It's cold outside. We're spending a lot of time indoors. Use this opportunity to call Precision Air. Ask about the radon testing and the indoor air quality assessment. That's when you become a Comfort Club preferred member. Comfort is a must. Call the experts you trust. 615-834-3777. 834-3777. Or go to precisionairtn.com. Midday 180, 104.5 The Zone. Doug Matthews, man. He's in studio with us, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Doug, you had a couple more thoughts on the national title game.
Yeah, just kind of talking about how well this game was played. Now, there were several penalties. You know, I think LSU had 11, and I'm not sure Clemson had 7, 8, something like that. But just think about this. In this type of ball game with quick, fast defenders, there was only one turnover in this game by both teams. That was when Lawrence fumbled the ball on the last drive, the last play that Clemson had the ball. So, yeah, essentially, the game was over at that point. Fourth quarter, LSU had the ball 12 of the 15 minutes in the fourth quarter. So, that, and then the last one, this 86 passes thrown, 0 interceptions. With all that talent out there in those both those secondaries, with the pass rush that both had, go show you how good both these quarterbacks were. Now, Clemson had an opportunity, boy, to intercept one and take it back when they jumped in front of that little stop route, but they didn't. But it was a well played game from that standpoint.
Doug, as you know, everybody wants to be like Alabama. Why wouldn't you? They're at the top of the mountain most years. Joe Brady to the Panthers. And you and I were chatting earlier this week, and you said, you know what? If you want to be like Alabama, part of being like the Crimson Tide is they lose good coaches, and Nick Saban replaces good coaches with good coaches. And now it's Ed Orgeron's job to identify that next play caller.
It's one of the most least talked about things that a head coach has to do. If you are successful really in any level, high school, wherever, if you're successful over a number of years, then you're going to have people coming after your coaches, which you want. You want that because you need new blood to come in. But just think now about, we've talked so much about Alabama on the offensive side of the ball in particular. On defense, you got Kirby Smart that leaves for a head job at Georgia. You got Jeremy Pruitt that leaves for a head job at Tennessee. What you do have at Alabama there is, though, you do have a head football coach that is his defensive system. But one of the things that happens is you're going to have to replace coaches because they're going to get better jobs. They're going to get head jobs. You're going to lose assistants sometimes that are going to get coordinator jobs. I mean, just think about it, Alabama, how many guys that off on the offensive side of the ball that they've had leave, and you have to continue replacing coaches. And it's difficult to do because what happens to head coaches after they've been in a head coach for a period of time, we just had the American Football Coach Association meetings out here at Opryland the first part of this week. And, when you go to those things, and I went to 20 of them, the head coaches stay by themselves and the assistant coaches stay by themselves. So what happens as a head football coach? You get away from knowing the assistants because you're not around them, you know, like you used to be. And that is one of the key things that you have to do. Now, what next year Ed Orgeron is going to have to do is he's got a defense coordinator, offensive coordinator that's left. Who's he going to bring in? Brady was not the offensive coordinator, but certainly he's the guy that installed that passing game.
Passing game coordinator.
Yeah. And what's going to happen there? You got to have a new quarterback comes in. Probably the guy, you're not going to have a guy come in that's Joe Burrow. So you're going to have to make a few adjustments there. That to me has been the impressive thing that Alabama's done. They've won with different style of quarterbacks, different offensive coordinators, why? Well, why? And LSU's in this boat now too. They recruit great players. If you recruit great players and coach them up, you're going to be in games and you're going to win big ball games.
Clemson certainly in that rotation of teams that are always going to be right there vying for a playoff spot. You put Oklahoma in that group also. Certainly Alabama, even though they weren't there this year. Ohio State in that group. Is LSU now setting itself up to sustain themselves where they're always in that conversation, or was this simply a special team at a special time with a special quarterback in a special season?
No, I think they're there. Just go back and look. How many guys, if you ask me, and I'm not a huge follower of pro football like you guys are, but name me the receivers in the NFL. I can name more LSU guys than anybody else. So they have players. There's a lot of talent in that state. And I tell you, the one thing that Orgeron does such a good job of every time he talks, not only does he end up go Tigers, he talks about the state of Louisiana.
The great state of Louisiana.
Yeah, I think they only signed like 5 guys last year from within the state. But bottom line, there's a lot of players down there. That little area they used to call the Golden Triangle, maybe still do, right out in Beaumont, Texas, in that area, that's very close to LSU. Now they're there, and if he recruits, and they tell me that that's what he does. He lets his offense and defensive staff do that part of it. He certainly knows what's going on, not saying that. But he recruits, he shakes hands, and he keeps the program running, and it's worked extremely well.
Now, let's focus on the great state of Mississippi. I don't know if Lane Kiffin – I don't know if the state is ready for Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach, but I know you believe – you thought the hiring of Mike Leach was a great hire for Mississippi State.
I really think both hires – at this particular time were excellent hires. Now, everybody knows my feeling about the guy that they hired at Ole Miss, but he's a tremendous quarterback coach. And guess what? Mississippi's got a couple of quarterbacks down there that anyone would love to coach. I'm not exactly sure what Mississippi State has, but Mike Leach, going back to when he was an offensive coordinator for Hal Mumme, who really started all that air raid stuff, you know, Mike Leach gets a lot of credit for it, and should, because he's made some adjustments. But Hal Mumme started that at Kentucky, 25 years ago or so. Mike coming in there is going to make a big difference offensively. Now, it's not Washington State, and it's not Texas Tech. He's in a pretty fair league over there. But I think it's added intrigue to the whole SEC. And listen, Kiffin, short time. And maybe he's changed, but in a short period of time, he really does really good work. It seems like maybe the longer he's at a place, not so. But I think it's made certainly for people like me who love to watch Southeastern Conference football. It has certainly made, or I think it's going to make watching games next year even more enjoyable. I'll probably watch some Mississippi State and Ole Miss games that I wouldn't have watched before just to see what they're going to do.
No doubt about it.
And you know what? Both brilliant offensive minds and play callers, but different. They do it a different way. I think it's good.
Egg Bowl will be fun, Chad.
No doubt. Coach, you hear so much about fit in terms of coaching hires. Ed Ogeron makes so much sense for the state of Louisiana. And he joked, he cut himself punching himself in the face, getting his team fired up. Said, I did the same stuff at Ole Miss. They called me an idiot. Here they love it. The fans love when I punch myself in the face in Louisiana. They think it's the greatest thing ever. Mike Leach, he's always been at these sort of football outposts, Lubbock, Texas, even Lexington, Kentucky for football, and then Washington State. Does Mississippi State and Starkville, Mississippi sort of fit where he's been and where he's had success? And is that a good fit?
He's a different guy now. Anybody, I don't know him, but I know some. I have a couple of coaching buddies that coached with him at Texas Tech. He's a different type guy, but you know, he's a great interview. My gosh, you know, I guarantee
he'll tell you what he thinks.
I guarantee you, media day when he's there, they'll have him SEC media day. They'll have him front and center. But, you know, it's a tough job down there. It's a tough job in both those places. There's five or six. There's several tough jobs in this league right now. It's tough down there. But both Ole Miss and Mississippi State have shown that they can recruit good quality players. Need to get some wins. And, again, there's a lot of people in that division playing really good football. And the East is getting a little bit better, too. So it's a tough place to go, Coach. But they're being compensated pretty well for it.
No surprise, Jarrett Garantano announces yesterday on social media that he's got unfinished business and he's coming back for his senior year at Tennessee and not going to transfer. Is he the guy going into this fall? Do you feel confident about that if you're Tennessee, or are you a little bit more hesitant after that inconsistency came back a bit in the bowl game with a layoff?
Well, I'm pretty confident that he's the guy. I'm not.
Two different questions, I guess.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting this spring is, of course, Harrison Bailey's coming in. I have watched a pretty good amount of his high school tape. Now, it is high school tape, but he certainly has. If you're out there looking at a quarterback that you would love to have on your team, he is one of those guys. Now, how's he going to perform? We'll see on that. I think Maurer still has an opportunity. Really unfair to Maurer. Shrout, not quite so much because he is a redshirt. But Maurer came in, was kind of in and out and out and in. I don't think he really understood the offense, which is normal. There aren't many Trevor Lawrences out there you can throw in and have him play, or Peyton Mannings, and play well. But I think the spring's going to really kind of weed out a lot of that. I would suspect that after spring, at least one of those quarterbacks, I can't see Bailey leaving. I'd say one of Maurer and Shrout might leave. They might both leave if they're not at the very least the backup. But it's going to be an interesting spring because there's you got talent there. But listen, Shrout and Maurer both showed talent. Maurer's in particular he's very good runner. Again, he's one of those guys that we were talking about that can pass and run. He did not show the accuracy, but I think just watching him play, he didn't look like he was confident in where he was supposed to play throw it, and when he did throw it, all that can be worked out in spring, hopefully.
Doug, what do you have coming up this weekend?
Gonna spend. Of course, we're back to a little bit of basketball. Billy the Legend Justice will be with us Saturday and Sunday, and I'm gonna take a look Sunday. Saturday, of course, Tony will come on. We'll be talking a lot about some of the things we're talking about today and some of the changes that we're probably going to see in college football. One of them we'll be talking about on this show some, that transfer waiver deal that last year got out of control, you know.
Yes.
That's kind of iffy and up in the air right now. But then Sunday, gonna take a look at this Tennessee team now going into one of the most important periods in developing a college football program is that strength and off-season program between January, if you played in the bowl, January up until whenever spring starts, which is usually late February, early March, and then after that. This is all now in the hands of that conditioning coach everywhere. We'll talk about the possibilities and what needs to happen probably at Tennessee. And really how one of the things I'm going to really drill down on is Tennessee's much better. But in my opinion, you know, to put them in the championship level right now, I don't think Tennessee is there. They're much closer. Could, you know, there were teams up. The 85 Sugar Bowl team wasn't a team that was at the championship level either, we didn't think. But it became one because special players made plays. Tennessee's much, much, much closer to that. And I'll be discussing that also.
Doug Matthews, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, helping you arrive. Doug, thank you.
You bet.
Coming up.
I guess you guys are heading out to...
headed to KC tomorrow.
Great place.
After the show.
Great place.
Yeah, can't wait.
You got any barbecue recommendations for us?
My first trip to a big city, and that's just something over 10,000, 12,000 people, was Kansas City. I went up to Kansas City Stockyards to deliver a load of hogs with my uncle.
You went for work?
Yes. And it was a smelly trip.
Doug, thank you as always. Always enjoy this hour with you. Coming up, Greg Cosell joins us in roughly 20 minutes with the best scouting report and in-depth film analysis of Titans and Chiefs. And we'll hear from quarterback Ryan Tannehill to begin the noon hour in the second half of the show next on 104.5 The Zone.